Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healing Circle, which is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time, and please feel free to participate or to just listen. Either one is okay. We appreciate your support. And tonight's topics are going to be gratitude and the basic good in the world. And the reason we chose the topics, number one, we just celebrated Thanksgiving in the States, and so gratitude seemed to be a natural topic, and Kat suggested basic good in the world. And it's my sense or feeling that in order for us to appreciate that and appreciate it in our lives, we do need to look out into the world and count our blessings, however they manifest, and to focus on that which is good and which is positive, and that only increases our level of vibration. It increases our feeling of goodness within ourselves, and it helps foster that attitude of gratitude. And I do believe that gratitude very much is a state of mind that can be cultivated when you focus on that attitude. And for me, when I feel grateful, I feel so much better than when I don't keep that in mind. I believe in counting my blessings every step of the way. And I even thank God for things like green lights at intersections, nice cooling breeze in the hot summer's day. And Kat is experiencing that on the other side of the world, and so let me welcome her. Kat, how are you tonight, hon?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm staying warm inside. I'm not worried about heat here.
Yeah. We're trying to stay cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Different sides of the world, different experiences.
Absolutely, yes. We're having bizarre weather in Australia, Tasmania, Victoria, all up through our Alps, which of course are not very high compared to Switzerland and parts of the North Americas, we know that, but they're still our Alps. They're covered in snow, which is kind of bizarre because the rest of the eastern coast and parts of Western Australia are going through a heat wave at the moment, so we're having very strange weather here in Australia, but we're very grateful, and gratitude is where I'm going to start. We're very, very grateful because there's rain that's come and it's washed away a lot of the bushfires.
And thank that God has, for that.
Well, we've seen people dancing in the street. We've seen people whose properties were bone dry, and their cattle and horses were dying, and we're seeing them with 200 millimeters of rain, and it's just amazing. So bring it on. I mean, if we have to put up with stinking hot and it generates a whole lot of activity in the atmosphere and brings across the rain, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We've been in a terrible drought for quite a long time, so to have that rain come through, you know, anyone with half a heart will put up with the heat to, you know, bring on the rain.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's that gratitude that we often see. I know that California has gone through a terrible drought as well and recent bushfires. And when the rain does come and you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing that element of water finally takes over from the element of fire, and we can all begin to relax again. Of course, too much water isn't such a good thing. You need the balance. But gratitude comes just in something like that, watching nature go through her cycles and feeling the pressure release when finally a new cycle comes. It's a wonderful experience. I remember when I was a teenager living in Mount Isa, it was 40-plus degree heat days every day, and I've looked that up, what Celsius 2 Fahrenheit is. So 40 degrees Celsius is 104 degrees Fahrenheit. So in the outback in Mount Isa, which is a mining town in northwest Queensland where I spent my teenage years, that was the average summer's day, and summer lasted 8 months too. Now, we usually did have a bit of a cold spell, but it was no more than 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Back to stinking hot
again. I can't imagine.
my partner and I both went to high school together up there, and we didn't get together for 17 years after high school, but we were mates in high school. And he was telling me how he never forget riding home from school, and the rain would come down and only the top half of his body would get wet because it was so hot that the radiant heat coming off the footpath would burn up the water before it hit the ground.
Oh, my.
And so he's bone dry from the legs down.
Oh, jeez.
But gratitude there is watching the Leichhardt River flood and the wall of water come down. And you've seen gratitude in action many a time when you see the droughts break. It's just one simple thing that we can all relate to. But I'm sure that there's droughts that have been in people's lives metaphorically all over the world. And to see that break is such an amazing thing. But we also, as you said, being grateful for the little things is so important. And to remind yourself of what you have around you to be grateful for is a magic place to start.
Well, you know, it's interesting you were talking about your weather, and I shared this with you, but I found something to be grateful for kind of after the fact, but it's something I'm looking forward to in the future. I went out into the weather, and of course here in upstate New York, we're experiencing a snow event, which started with snow, then freezing rain, and I thought I'd better go out and shovel the sidewalk because the rain had made such a crust over the snow that when we get more and we're expecting 1 to 2 feet of snow, it would be very difficult to shovel down further. We're going to get nailed tonight, so in the morning, God only knows what will be out there. At any rate, I shoveled the walk, cleared it, and I went to clear the cars, which took some doing with the ice on it. And I heard the sound coming down the street, and I turned, and it was like a little mini snowplow coming down the sidewalk. And I went in after I'd finished doing what I needed to do, and I mentioned it to my husband, and he said, "Oh, yes, this is something new." And so I'm hoping that tomorrow I won't have as big a job as I had thought I would have. And I must express gratitude to my neighbor who has a snowblower and I don't. He has cleared my walks for me during snow events such as what we're expecting. And so a shout out to Joe for all of the blessings that you provided to us over the years. We do have two callers on the line. I'd expected more, but this is wonderful. We have Regina and Trish on the line. I'd just like to touch base with them and see what they have to share. And what we can do is go around a couple of times, because what Kat and I have discovered is that when one or the other of us has shared, it spurred other ideas, or as I say to Kat, she stimulated other ideas for me. I never seem to get that straight, so to speak, but maybe that's because I'm not straight. Anyhow.
I love that I stimulate you.
Yes, you do, honey. I must admit. And just to let the callers know, and if there's anybody that's listening that wants to be part of the discussion, and this may indeed be the case, what you need to do is press 1. And there's one other thing I'm going to put out there. It's a little bit of housekeeping, and that is that we welcome topics from our callers for future shows. And so keep that in mind, and if you have them at the outset or think of them in between sharings, please let me know, and we'll be glad to cover those topics on another week. So let me go to Regina. And Regina, you're live. What would you like to say about gratitude or the basic good in the world?
Well, today I was thinking I was very grateful to have a snow day, to stay inside and enjoy making turkey soup. I got to clean up the turkey and enjoy the process and the thought of bringing some over to my elderly neighbor tomorrow because she just loves my soup. And, you know, it gives me great joy to give others joy by, you know, sharing these simple things. It doesn't have to be anything great big. It's just like a warm smile and a bowl of soup. You know, that gives me great pleasure. I don't have to go to anything fancy. I can just be all nice and warm and toasty in my house making some soup. It reminds me of my dad, who always used to make the best soup on the planet. So I always try to emulate the love he put into his soup and to get great joy out of that. What else would I think of joy, you know, gratitude? Because for me, for many, many years, I was not a grateful person. I didn't have gratitude for anything. And today, it's a whole another side of the coin that I'm living. You know, the first side of the coin seemed to be unhappiness, ungratefulness, seeing the negativity, the dark side of the mountain. And then I just switched over onto the other side of the bus, and I look out and I can see the sun and the beauty and the goodness of life, you know? I mean, goodness is a simple thing like soup and sharing it with somebody. That's my great joy. I can't wait. I can picture her now, this lady. Her name is Lois. When I give her the soup, it just makes her day. And when I make her day, she makes my day. It's a very shareable thing. So, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the great joys of being stuck in the house, let's say. Oh, I'm stuck in the house. Oh, boy, I got so much done today. I got the bills ready to pay tomorrow. I put that off till tomorrow because the soup was a lot more important. And I put those little foam squares down in my kitchen so my feet will be warm on my linoleum floor. And, you know, just little things. I was able to hammer up a little box to store things in. Just little projects that if I was running around out there, you know, I couldn't get these things done. But I got them done today, and I'm very happy with that. So thanks for letting me share, David. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks so much, Regina. You know, I really loved your sharing, and I just wanted to make a couple of comments, and maybe Kat would like to, too. I was just relating to what you were sharing. I, too, made turkey soup. I did it the day after Thanksgiving. In fact, that night I threw the carcass in the pot and boiled it up, and then the next day I pulled the meat off and I prepared the vegetables, and Robbie seasoned the soup. That's my husband. And, you know, I so relate to the feeling of joy that comes from giving to other people. And it is the simple things that mean so much. And I think that a lot of people, myself included, in the past, have taken these things for granted. And I think it's so wonderful that you've gone to the other side of the mountain. We all have our dark and light sides, and we've talked about that in the past. And what a joy it is to come out of the darkness and walk in the light, isn't it?
Yes, it is. David, it truly is. It's like, you know, I get to have two lifetimes. And I'm glad I had that first one, because now I so appreciate the light side of the mountain, because I've been on the dark side, and grace of God shone on me and showed me the way.
Well, from the first time I met you, I never suspected, I should have, because it seems to me that the most grateful people in the world have been through real trials and tribulations and have walked in the shadows. And I know when I met you, I just felt such joy within myself. And we did the Sufi dance at the mastery classes. And I'd love to hear you describe that, but we looked into each other's eyes, and I just felt so connected. And it wasn't just connected to you. I felt connected to some power greater than myself, and it was a wonderful feeling. It was wonderful.
Yes, and I'm very happy to be sponsoring the Dances of Universal Peace here in Albany at the Unitarian Church on December 14th at 12:30. I discovered these dances in New York City. I was studying with Oscar Ocasio at the Eureka Institute in 1975, and some Rajneesh people said, "Do you want to come dancing?" And I thought, oh, you know, disco a go-go or something. But no, they took me to St. John the Divine's, and there were three circles of Sufis doing these beautiful dances. And I said, who the heck are these people? And that night changed my whole life. I was too run into the Sufis, because Oscar Ocasio said, now go find a real teacher. And I was able to find my teacher, Pir Vilayat Inayat Khan, who had left New York City and came up to Massachusetts, where I was blessed to be able to study with him for a number of years. And he made all the difference in my life. He's the one that helped me go from the dark side of the mountain to the light side.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And Dances of Universal Peace is just soul food, you know. You just have to feed your soul and be happy with others. You know, it's a way of joining in community, and you know, yes, I'm so glad that that's the first way we met, was doing Sufi dancing.
Would you describe the dance?
I think we were doing the dance, "All I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you." And we were whirling. We dance, we hold hands, and we dance in circles, and we use phrases from all the religions of the world, and it may be like a la Who or Hare Krishna or Jesus Loves You, all kinds of different songs, and we dance usually in circles, and then we'll split up into partners sometimes where we will engage at a soul level, not at an ego level, but on the love connection, you know, the deep love that unites us all. So, and you can find them online, Dances of Universal Peace. They're all around the world. Murshid Sam Lewis started them back, I would say in the 60s. He wanted to teach the children to dance in peace. And that's my dream, too. That is why, you know, I've experienced a whole town breaking into dance together during a mystical training. And it's something you'll never forget. I think I'd like to see, you know, you see that commercial, I'd like to share a Coke with the world or something. Well, I'd
like to teach the world to sing, yeah.
I'd like to teach the, you know, I'd love to have the, someday we'll just break out in universal dance and love one another. And enough of this nonsense we have of this separation. It's just an illusion, you know.
Well, that's my vision for the world, and thank you so much for sharing. I remember the soul connection with you, Regina. I don't remember the rest. I'm going to just ask Kat if she has any comments to make, and then we're going to go to Trish. But please hang in there, Regina. We may come back to you if there's time, and we do a meditation at the end of the show.
Thank you very much. I'm enjoying my time with you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Likewise. Hi, Kat.
Hi. Yeah, I love listening to Regina and what she has been doing with the universal dance. That's amazing. It's inspirational, in fact. But what I, you know, bringing it back to the theme of the show about gratitude, she didn't have to say that word. You could feel it and hear it in her words as she was talking about the experiences that she'd been having, and an amazing blessing to have a spiritual teacher come into her life who could help her and assist her in that way. And, you know, and that's what gratitude is about. It's about recognizing the blessings that you have and being thankful for it, no matter what blessings they are. I mean, you're both talking about making turkey soup. And part of that blessing is to sacrifice the turkey itself made so that you can live on. And the enjoyment that you have in the eating of the flesh of the turkey, so that it then becomes a part of your body. As all food that you consume becomes your body or is expelled, but it is, you know, the nutrition, if your body's running properly, from the food is taken up. So the essence of the food is always becoming your body. So, you know, to have that gratitude towards that animal that it has made a sacrifice so that you can live on, and to enjoy that is, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And as long as we stay in gratitude, then life will constantly keep feeding us, because life feeds on life. And as we keep flowing with that, we keep growing with it. And then we see the positives that come out of that, and we keep focusing on the good and the good and the good and the good. And we don't remember so much the hard and the difficult. And as Regina was saying, she's come over and she's seen the light side of the mountain. So for a while she was on the dark side of the mountain, i.e. the dark side of the moon, I suppose, where the light wasn't shining so much. And we forget sometimes when we're in the middle of that experience that that this is the time for us to learn and for us to grow. And some of these experiences can be horrific, but they do force us to learn and grow. And we may die and be completely exhausted from that lifetime, and then come to regroup and become more able to focus on reincarnating again. But we've learned and we've grown. Our soul has grown so much from difficulty. The soul doesn't grow so much from comfort. Comfort's good, but yeah, once you've earned it because you've gone through that darkness, the gratitude towards the comfort is what keeps it there. So it's there's nothing but good that comes out of that. And when you start to see another difficult time, another difficult time, and you keep focusing on the good that's coming out of it, no matter how hard that difficult time is, then you get back to the good faster. Part of what we're talking about today is the basic good in the world, isn't it, David?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I was thinking about what you were saying about those dark times and how we shift our focus when we come into the light. I think one of the great mysteries for me, and later became truth for me, was that it was so important for me to embrace the dark times that I'd had as blessings, because they are part of what's formed me. They are part of what ultimately transformed me into a person who does choose to walk in the light and largely does that. And I'm not going to belabor my past, which I've shared before, but I think that for anybody that is in a place where they're feeling down, it is so important to focus on things that you're grateful for. When I can do that, I start to feel better, and I raise my level of vibration. And then I'm able to see more clearly outside of myself, and I can look into the world, and I can appreciate. I can appreciate things that I hadn't even noticed before when I was walking in paths of darkness. And I think it is so important to even get beyond gratitude, as you said before, Kat, into this place of appreciation. And to be in that place just generates more and more and more, and it doesn't stop. And I'd like to go to Trish and see what she has to say. And then if there's time, I think there will be, since they're just the four of us, we can go back and talk some more. And I hope people don't mind the free-flowing format tonight, but it just seems to be working very well. And Trish, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi. Well, boy, gratefulness, that's a great subject. You know, this Thanksgiving, I was thinking back to where I was last Thanksgiving, because I had just left a 20-year relationship and bought a house and moved in by myself. And I just wanted to be by myself. I had many offers to go over to people's houses, but I just wanted to be by myself because I wanted a peaceful holiday to myself. And it was wonderful. I cooked myself a feast, and a friend came over later and had a piece of pie, but I was mostly by myself, and I did it for myself, and that was the start of my gratefulness. But this year, in contrast to last year, my life is so much fuller now. Back then, because I was going from a relationship, long-term relationship, into being single again, I didn't know how I was going to rebuild my life. And this year, it feels really full, and it's great, and I'm really grateful for that. My friends, my family, just the connections I've made and where I am in my life. Very grateful for everything. I mean, my life's not perfect by any means, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's funny that I was just thinking about this a little while ago. I was reading the New York Times, and, you know, you read the news and everything's so negative, 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 negative. And, you know, I put it down and, like, I have to, like, get from my head into my heart. And then I know that I'm in good shape, and I know that I'm living in gratitude if I could get into my heart space and stay there. And, you know, in reading the news and all the shootings and the horrible things that go on every day in this world, I just have to keep reminding myself to live in the heart space as much as I'm able to do that. And I think that when you do that, I think it ripples out to around you, to the people around you. So I think that's about all I can think of. I try to live in you know, my heart space and a place of humbleness. The saying, and I'm terrible with names, I think it's Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian, it's like a prayer, a saying, where if you see something that's upsetting to you, you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And by saying that, I think it puts you in a place of humbleness and gratitude for what you are. It takes you out of your head space and into your heart space.
Mm.
That's about all I could think of to say on that. It's such a huge thing.
It is a huge thing. And as I was saying before, I'm not going to put you on the spot at present, but if you can think of any topic that you would like us to cover in a future week, I'd be grateful to get some input along those lines. And I would like to talk a little bit about some of the things that you brought up, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You really inspired me when you talked about humility, because I think that when we're in a place of humility, we can see the blessings out there, and they make
mm-hmm.
us feel even more humble. And that's just it's so gratifying to not have to be the center of the universe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And to just open myself to whatever positive experiences might be out there. And I think that for me, the key to gratitude is to focus on the positive things in the world
mm-hmm.
and fill myself up with that, because I don't need to dwell in the stuff that the news feeds us. I mean, I could get on a soapbox about that. I don't understand why there isn't more positive stuff in
Agreed.
The news.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, we can find our own little niche in this world, and we can focus on those things that fill us up, and we can focus
mm-hmm.
on good deeds that other people do, you know, the ways that we can be of help to other people, like Regina was talking about taking turkey
mm-hmm.
soup to her neighbor. I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are all things that stem, as I see it, from being humble and
mm-hmm.
and how it invites gratitude in. What do you think? I hear you agreeing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think from just trying to live not in your head but in your heart space, I think it just comes naturally. It's like you're in a flow, and just what needs, you know, what pops up in front of you, you just automatically do it, because you are living in a place of gratitude and humbleness, and you are able to give of yourself.
What do you have to say, Kat?
I wanted to just discuss something. It is about gratitude, but it's the focus on the basic good that we see in the world. Because one of you said that when you bring it back to the Ho'oponopono and you say, I am sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. When you say that, you do humble yourself, But when you also, one of you also was talking about when it things are crazy, upsetting, and how to bring yourself back to gratitude. And the way to bring yourself back to gratitude is by focusing on what's good. Because when we realize that really there is two things that go on in the world, there is the flow of love or the forgetting of the flow of love. There's the walking
yes.
towards love or the walking away from love. When you get to realizing that, when things are really bad, and things can be, it's remembering the basic good and that there is a continuous flow of love, that you will begin to regain your grip and come back into that attitude of gratitude. But then beyond that, you come into appreciation and satisfaction, and that is when you begin to really, really build back into a place of strength. So that basic good is everywhere. The universe is full of good. It is not full of bad. You know, we hear people say, oh, life is a bitch and then you die. Well, you know, only if you focus on it that way. And why are you insulting female dogs? They're quite nice. You know, so we focus on the good. The color blue is good. The color red is good. White is good. It has all the colors. It's a reflection of all the colors. Black is good. It absorbs all the colors. Wood is good. Look at all the wood that has built all the houses and furniture and given us paper, and toilet paper, and given us so many different things. Isn't that good? Shoes are good. Beds are good. Clothing's good. Even if you're wearing rags, at least you have clothing on. That's good. Shops are good. Air conditioning's good. Tables are good. Carpet's good. Trees are the sound of the movement of the trees with the air going through them, wind going through them, that's good. Birds are good. Bird poo is good. It fertilizes the ground. And we keep going. I mean, can you not see how many things are good around you if you're in a dark place?
Mm.
All you have to do is start sitting in the room you are occupying and look at every single thing instead of saying, what a bunch of clutter, or I have nothing. Instead of saying that, you can look around and go, there's walls. Walls are good. The colour on the wall is good. I might not appreciate that colour for me, but that colour itself, that 80s peach pink, hey, that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not bad. It's not attacking me. It's good. Ensemble beds are good. This bed I'm in, it's a bit squeaky. Maybe it needs replacing, but the fact that it is a bed and it has no intention towards me other than being a bed, that makes it good. So we start to then look at the things that we have in our life that maybe are busted and broken and needing replaced, and we change our attitude towards them from disgust or anger or something else to, oh, well, it's good, it's just a bed. It doesn't mean to be uncomfortable. It is. It just is. And the fact that it is all the atoms brought together to make a bed, that's good. So we change when we start to become and reframe, and we change the way that we see things. Our perspective is what makes us grow. The perspective of a 5-year-old child is different to a 15-year-old child. The perspective of somebody going through the dark, like Trish was saying, she just come out of a divorce. So if we look back 2 years, maybe she was going through the rocky experience or coming up to the experience of having to go through that divorce. That's a dark time. Then she came out of it into a period when she needed to just be. She just needed to be by herself and be in full connection with herself. And what she experienced was all the basic good around her. And while she was in that place of basic good, she was able to rebuild her foundation with her emotional cup. And she had one beloved person who she felt comfortable enough that they could enter her space to share some pie. But they too did not stay long because she needed to have an emotional refill of being on her own and just being in the basic good. And then slowly but surely she rebuilt her foundation until a year later, here she is shining, flowing, growing. She's a butterfly again. She's out showing her beauty to the world and feeling it from the inside out. The journey back to gratitude and appreciation and satisfaction always comes with the reminder of the basic good. What do you think, David?
I think that's beautiful, Kat.
Before we go on, I forgot. Can I just say,
yes,
if you want to know more about the basic good, I would recommend the book Sacred Path of the Warrior, the Shambhala Teachings by Choyum Trungpa. And I'll put that up on my my Facebook page after the show, because that will really teach you some beautiful insights into the basic good and gratitude.
Put out your Facebook page first, and then I'll reflect on what you were saying.
it's Kat Edwards, life coach and spiritual facilitator. It's just on Facebook there, or you can friend me at Kat Edwards, and Kat is spelt with a C.
And I should say that Kat is a life coach, and she's also a renowned psychic. She's absolutely wonderful. She does great work in this world. And what I was going to say, Kat, is what you just expressed was so eloquent, you know, aside from the fact that you were referring to Trish, I think that it could be made into a beautiful discourse on the basic good and appreciation and inspiration of somebody's personal experience. And I was laughing to myself when you were talking about the squeaky bed. It made me think of Goldilocks. But the other thing is, when you talked about appreciation, I know that you love Esther Hicks and Abraham that she channels, and she always is talking about, or he is always talking about, appreciation and how important that is. And I would like to go back to Regina and see if there's anything she'd like to share, and then come back to you, Trish. And Regina, also, if you have thought of any topics you'd like to have us discuss, I'd welcome that from you. If not, no problem. So, Regina, I'm going to bring you live, and we're all going to be live, but I'm going to let you talk right now, Regina.
Well, yes, I'm friends on Facebook with Kat, have been for a number of years, and I do follow your adventures down under.
Oh, thank you.
And I have another friend down there that I met years ago when she was here. Carla Van Ray lives over on the other coast, wrote God's Call Girl, if you're aware of her.
Right.
And
no, I'm not, but I'd love to meet her.
Yes, she was able to transform a lot of negativity, which is, you know, part of the process, part of the walk. So maybe that's a future thing you could focus on, is how do you transform like bundles of negativity into bundles of light, you know?
Oh, I love that.
I got bundles of them, but without it, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Sure.
Walking that path.
I appreciate the suggestion. Go ahead, sorry.
Appreciation, you know, that's what I had put the day after Thanksgiving was Appreciation Day. Appreciate what you have and who you have. So clean your house and call a friend, I said, because you have to tell people you appreciate them. And that's why I'm in touch with you, because I appreciate you, David, and the joy you bring back at you. You know, we've come a long way on a similar path, and, you know, I'm still dancing in the light on that path. It just, I'm maybe on the other side of the road where the sun is shining, but it's the same path, you know. Like Kat said, the bed is good. It, you know, it's doesn't intend to harm me. It's just our attitude towards it. I used to have what I would call a bad-itude, and I was able to transform that, you know, into a good attitude, you know. So, yeah.
Let me interrupt you for a minute, Regina, if I may. Yeah. We have another caller that's joined us, and I'd like to see if she would like to share anything. I know this person very well, and her name is Beth. And Beth, if you don't want to share, that's okay. I just want to say hello to you, and if you'd like to share, we'd love your input. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
I forgot what the topics are.
Is there anything you'd like to share?
I forgot what the topics are.
Oh, gratitude and the basic good in the world.
Well, should I share?
Please do.
Okay. Gratitude for me has been the answer to a lot of negativity in my life. And if I don't maintain that attitude, that negativity is just waiting for me. And I need to keep it at bay by keeping a grateful heart. And I need to really stay in touch with my people, which helps me to stay grateful. God has put people in my life, and they're very important to me. And they help me to maintain my gratitude just because they're there in my life. And as far as the basic good, I think that you have to really look for the basic good, especially these days, because the tendency is to get cynical and think that there is no basic good, but we carry the basic good within each of us, and it's up to us to share it with others and share it with ourselves, and also to look for it, because it's there if you look for it. And that's what I have to share on the subjects.
Thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate it. Trish, is there anything else you'd like to say?
And thank you for your responses to what I said. That was really beautiful, Kat. Thank you so much. There was something else I wanted to say. On the basic good in the world, I don't think that anything's good or bad. I don't believe in dualism. I believe that we see things as we are. I think that, you know, if you're living from your heart center, then you will see the world and accept it for what it is. And so I guess I just wanted to add that by seeing good and bad, it reminds me that I'm back up in my head again, judging things, and I don't want to live my life there from that perspective anymore. I want to live from my heart center and go with what my deeper connection is with myself. Does that make sense?
I appreciate that. It makes perfect sense to me. I was just thinking about how I've heard it said, and I believe it to be true, that it's all good. Even those things that we were talking about earlier that have created what we've felt was darkness. there is darkness that comes into our lives, but it's all for the greater good. It's all part of our process of coming to live in the light, I believe. And if I limit myself to black and white thinking or good and bad thinking, then I am casting judgments. And I find that for me, it's much better to be an observer of life and to refrain from judgment when I can. I'm reading a wonderful book called The Untethered Soul, and I know you're familiar with that, Trish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm toward the beginning of the book. I'm maybe a third of the way through it at most. But it talks about letting go of the chatter in your head and being the observer. And, you know, when I can be objective and detach from whatever chatter is going on in my brain, which tends to be judgmental, I'm a much happier person. So I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to reflect on that? And then we'll go to Kat before we go to meditation.
No, I agree. Thank you.
Kat, thank you.
You know, I just think that when you remember that no matter where you're at, I mean, if you're in a prison cell, the bed that you've been given is not against you. It is. It just is. Therefore, it is good. The toilet that you've been given serves a function for your body. Therefore, it is good. The sink serves a function for your body. Therefore, it is good. So even in a place that could really begin to say, I hate this, and which most people probably would, and I'd say I would, there is still good. There is still the basic good. And that would be the place to start in any situation where you're feeling in the dark, where you're feeling life is coming on top of you, where something horrendous has happened, and you need to regain your sense of control. Is to just be, you know, I've got shoes on, they're good, grass is good, there's stars in the sky at night, that's good. It's all there. The good is all there. Then in that sense of control, because you've got the good with you, you can then work on how to respond rather than react to whatever challenge you have before you. And in the response, you may make mistakes, but then that is part of the learning. So therefore, that is good. And in the response, you may have some victory. There, that is good too, because you have learned. So it is all good. And the thing is that if you do accept the concept of reincarnation, your soul is growing beautifully because of the challenges that you go through. And you do get to have lifetimes where you're not so challenged, where it's a bit easier. There has to be an ebb and flow. And you can, in one lifetime, have extremes of difficulty and ease. So if you are in one extreme of difficulty, then the focus is on everything that's good that you can see around you and what brings you joy. And you will come out of it and you will begin to find the ease. As somebody told me the other night, a dear friend of mine who has some terrible pain problems, she was feeling guilty about having to take painkillers on a regular basis. And, is it bad that I have to do this and I have to do this and that and my condition? And very much focused on feeling guilty about having to be in a position to take painkillers all the time. And I said, stop. You're focusing on what you don't want, and therefore you're keeping what you don't want in your life. We all have difficulties we have to cope with. Yours may be easier than mine, and mine may be more difficult than yours. But we all have difficulties that we have to cope with. So cope. But what is it that brings you joy? What is that one thing that brings you joy? And that might be getting up in the morning and eating that bowl of cereal you really like. That's the place to start. That's the most shiny good thing you have. Focus on that. Think about that. Rest your mind in the good. And then the way forward to cope out of the situation to the point of health, or at least in a sense of homeostasis, if it's a terminal thing or a thing you have to live with for the rest of your life, that will come. The answer will come. You know, I stabbed my hand when I was about seven years ago now. I still have problems with the finger where I stabbed it. I was making guacamole and I stabbed my finger. Now, the answer came that I have to take a herb. When I take this herb, the pain is relaxed and I can cope with the finger. Don't take the herb, the nerve pain gets out of control. I found an answer because I focused on the good, which was that my family looked after me and that I got back on my feet. And I kept focusing on the good. The annoyance of the pain was there, but because I kept focusing on the good of being looked after and then of finding other things that gave me joy, the herb came into my life and I was able to take it and get better or cope with it. I'll always have a very sore finger if I don't take that herb. That's something I have to live with. So you see that always by bringing in that focus on the good, you bring yourself back into gratitude, you bring yourself into appreciation, you bring yourself into satisfaction. You can cope with what you have on your plate. And you can bring more ease into your life. So I'd encourage everybody who is listening to turn around today and pick 10 things in every place that they go, in the car, at the shops, at work, at home, wherever you end up today, 10 things in each place, that's good. And don't focus it on the concept of good and evil. That it's not the good guys versus the bad guys. It's what is, because everything that just is tends to be good, because it's the flow of the universe. The universe is basically good, and we need to have that basic good in our mindset. I think that's enough for me.
Thank you. You're wonderful, Kat. I love you, and I appreciate everybody that's participated tonight. And so now let's take a few moments to go within. And I invite you all to take some deep, soothing breaths. Breathe in slowly and fill up your lungs. And hold it for just a brief instant. And then let go gradually, breathing out through your mouth. Breathe out. Breathe out. Breathe out. Pause. Now in through your nose. Slowly. Slowly. Slowly fill yourself with that breath of life. Pause for a moment and let go through your mouth. Slowly. 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 And repeat two more times. And now I'd like you to shift your focus inward to your heart and find something or somebody to connect to, something or somebody for which you're grateful, for which you've developed appreciation. We can always find the basic good when we look for it. And imagine yourself like Regina was talking about, sharing the basic good with that other person or with that thing for which you are expressing appreciation. Be it a beautiful sunrise, be it a best friend, a child, a parent, whatever it is, feel the connection and draw it into your heart and then let it go. Give it over to the other, whatever it is. Give it over and feel the joy that fills your being as you rejoice in the joy of giving and allowing to receive it back again. Repeat this 3 more times. Give. Receive. Give. Receive. Give. Receive. And feel the appreciation that is welled up within you. Experience the gratitude for this moment that you've had as you've shared the basic good, the goodness of yourself, and have received the goodness from the other into your heart. And so let it be and rejoice. Rejoice. It's all good, as are you. And so now, when you're ready, if your eyes have been closed, open them. When you're ready, slowly but surely return to this place and this time. And so thank you all, Regina, Trish, Beth, Kat, and thank you for all the basic good in the world and the feeling of gratitude. And I so appreciate everyone who's participated tonight, and I appreciate this show and for Kat co-hosting it with me. And so I wish you well and good night. God bless.